good to be with you this morning in the Bible class, and we give you all a warm welcome. If we could seek the Lord's face together, conscious that we need His help, therefore let us pray as one man, under one head, even at the commencement of this Bible class and this His day. Lord, our most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this great opportunity of calling upon Thy name, even in this public fashion. We thank Thee for the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We thank Thee from the bottom of our hearts for ever saving our precious souls, our never-dying souls, for precious in Thy sight. And Lord, we thank Thee for ever dealing with us in mercy, for calling us for such a time as this. And we ask of Thee that You'll empty us of self and of sin, and that You'll fill us full of the Holy Ghost and with power. We ask of Thee that You'll bless each individual as our heads are bowed. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt speak the word only. We pray for the Sunday school, for every child under the preaching of divine truth. We pray that Thou wilt thrust many out into Thy harvest field. Lord, that Thou wilt raise up missionaries and ministers. Lord, we pray for those that are not saved, those who are unsaved, unconverted. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt deal with such, and Thou wilt reveal Your Son to fallen man, and that Thou wilt do that gracious divine work that only Thou can do. Lord, we pray that You'll bless every man faithful to the blood and to the book this day. Lord, that Thou wilt endue Thy servants full of the Holy Ghost and with power. We thank Thee that we can claim Thy promise. There shall not any man be able to stand before Thee all the days of Thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with Thee. I will not fail Thee, nor forsake Thee. And we thank Thee that great is Thy faithfulness. Lord, we thank Thee for a year gone by. We thank Thee for Your blessings. We thank Thee for Your merciful providences, for afflicting providences, that every providence is for our good and for the good of those that love Christ. And Lord, we say from the bottom of our hearts, we only love Thee because Thou did first love us. Lord, we pray that You'll bless Mr. Hall, Mr. Greer, as they preach later on in Thy day. We pray that You'll fill Thy servants full of the Holy Ghost and with power. Lord, remember even Mr. Laverty over in Liverpool even now. Lord, we pray that You'll bless Thy servant. And Lord, that You'll use him for the extension of Thy kingdom and for the building of Thy church. Help us here and now. And bless our waiting hearts, for it's in Christ's precious name we ask all these things, careful to give Thee all the praise and glory, for it's in Christ's precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You have your Bibles with you. We're turning in Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. And if you don't have a Bible with you, perhaps the person next to you will share with you and you follow on. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Jeremiah chapter 1, and commencing our reading at verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, and commencing at verse 1, let us hear God's word. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nation, and over the kingdoms to root out, and to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 10, and knowing that the Lord will bless the public reading of His Word, as He's promised to do so. Let us bow briefly before the Lord again, seeking His face, coming before Him in reverence and godly fear. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can call Thee our Father because of that indissoluble union with our Saviour and our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask of Thee that none would be seen save Jesus only. We cry unto Thee for that help, that aid, that Thou wilt succour to our cry. We pray as our faces differ, so do our needs. We ask of Thee that You'll help us now. From whence cometh our help? Our help cometh from the Lord. We have no confidence in the flesh whatsoever. The Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Bless the hearing of divine truth. Bless the preaching of it, for it's in Christ's precious name we ask all these things, and for Thy glory alone. Remember even our missionaries this day. Remember both Stephen and Ruth Miller out in Uganda. We pray that You'll fill Thy servants full of the Holy Ghost and with power. Remember Kyle Graham and Epi, and they're young. And Lord, we pray that You'll use them out in Australia. Lord, help us here and now. Lord, we thank Thee that Thy people are scattered here, there, and yonder. Lord, we pray that You'll minister to their souls even now. And bless us here for a season. And we'll be careful to give Thee all the praise and glory. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask these things. And for Thy glory alone. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah was one who was raised up by the Lord. He was sent, thrust out by God, to tell the people of their sins and to warn them of the judgments of God that were coming upon them. He was a lone voice in the land of Israel in a time of great apostasy, that is, departure from the law of God. All around him, the worship of God had become polluted. Idolatry came to the fore, and the people worshipped the creatures instead of Him that made them, and the gifts instead of Him that gave them. Godlessness was evident throughout the home. Parents had left their responsibility. They had rejected God and neglected their responsibilities, and so their children were being led to follow in their footsteps. Jeremiah, he was persecuted by his own people. From the monarch upon the throne and the officials around him, the priests and the prophets in the temple, none had any time for God. We see this clearly in Jeremiah 6 and the first 13. Jeremiah 6 and the first 13. Jeremiah 6, 13. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. It was a dark and wicked age, and yet it was into this scene. It was into these circumstances that God calls this young man. He was around the age of 20. And he was to be a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of God and God the Son. He was to bear witness for the cause of truth for 40 years. He never saw a convert, yet was faithful as God helped him. He never saw a convert, yet was steadfast in the work of God. And so he was a weeping prophet. A weeping prophet. So he is called because he was a mournful spectator of the sins of his people and of the desolating judgments that were coming upon them. And so we find many lessons from this man, Jeremiah. We cannot but direct our attention to reflect on why it was that the prophecies of Jeremiah were so little regarded by the people of that generation. But let us make that a reason why we should consider them all the more. They are written for our learning too, as a warning to us and to our generation. But it is his calling unfolded that we want to consider firstly. His calling unfolded. As we view the life of this man, we see that he was first chosen of God. He was chosen of God. Jeremiah wasn't thrust into the role of a prophet by chance, by education, by circumstances, or even by the pressure of others. This man was in God's work because God had so ordered it that way. God had ordered it. And we see this, as we read earlier, from verse 5 of Jeremiah chapter 1 that we read earlier. Verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You see, it was a dark day in Judah, for God's people had grievously departed from him. And so the Lord required a man to declare unto men their transgressions and to call them to repentance. God reveals to this young man the fact that before he was even born, that he was set apart of God and ordained to be a prophet. God was saying to him, you've been predestined unto eternal life and to service. And so this gracious choice is linked inseparably to to the person and work of Jesus Christ. It is in Him that we are chosen. All the merit that makes us acceptable to God is His. And therefore, divine election not only appointed this young man, Jeremiah, to God's service, but it also appointed him to sanctification. Look at verse 5. At verse 5. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Set apart. You see, election, as J.C. Ryle says, election is always to holiness. We are chosen in Him that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. When the Lord predestinated us, it was, as Romans 8:29 states, to be conformed to the image of His Son. And so the Bible, the Word of God, that which is God-breathed, that which is given by God, the Bible rejects every theory, every notion of eternal election that is divorced from sanctification and service. And so should we. For the vessel of the Lord, the vessel the Lord chooses, may be weak, but sanctification is the initial step of divine preparation for God's work. And so, child of God, Fear not to heed His call to service. Fear not to heed His call to service. And embrace His will with joy. For He will give you every gift and grace needed to perform it. It was this great truth of God's electing love that did two things for this man, Jeremiah, for this youth. It brought encouragement. While this would be a hard task for Jeremiah, yet God had prepared him for it. We get the impression from verse 6, then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. He expresses the impression is here before us that he was timid, that he was shy. But these words remind him that God not only knew the task he would have, but also the type of character and nature he would possess. Behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Jeremiah, this young man, he confesses that he wasn't sufficiently qualified. That he wasn't sufficiently qualified as to knowledge and practice. I am utterly unfit for service. None worthy of the honor. A child of God. It's true, God often chooses to do great things through those who are little. Those who are little, especially through those who are so in their own eyes. It certainly wasn't a false humility. As Matthew Henry says, God delights to advance the humble. As Paul the Apostle was made a minister, for he didn't make himself such. And so here brought him encouragement. I sanctify thee, and I ordain thee a prophet unto the nations. God supplied and furnished him for his work. God supplied and furnished him for his work. And so what God calls men to, what God calls men to, he fits them for and does it with an almighty power. And therefore these words are spoken not to intimidate young Jeremiah, but rather to bring peace to his trembling heart and to help the shaking hand. That he wasn't alone, but that God was with him. Hence, when discouragement and difficulty would come upon him, he could look back and say that God had sanctified him to the task and that he was in his will and doing what he would have him to do. It not only brought encouragement, but it also brought responsibility. It also brought responsibility. He was ordained to be a prophet. Ordained to be a prophet, a man who must convey to men the word of the eternal God. A solemn responsibility, a solemn duty to warn, to plead, to exhort, and he must put his heart and soul into that office. Oh, we find that the Apostle Paul, as he begins each of his letters, identifies himself. He is an apostle by the will of God. By the will of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn with me if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And the first one. And we read the following. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. And so he was called to be one, because he didn't take on that role and office without the call of Christ. Take, for example, over in Galatians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, over to the book of Galatians, and we read there in verse 1 of chapter 1, Galatians 1, and the first one, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. As a result, he was not sent to carry out any purpose of man or commissioned by man. His was a higher calling, a calling of God, and he had been sent directly by him, Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. He is not only giving his name to the reader, but he is also informing them of his God-given position. His authority is not based on the fact he is Paul the preacher, but on the basis that he is called and anointed of the Most High God. He's reminding himself as he seeks to impart wisdom and guidance to troubled believers that he is in this office by the will of God, and so can seek and know the help of God, but he is also conscious that he is under a massive responsibility, that he is under the examining eye of a thrice holy God. And so it is with us as the people of God. We who are purchased by his blood, we are chosen of God. We are in Christ. This is the basis of our salvation. This is the basis of our assurance. We are chosen of God that we might be willing vessels in whatever capacity we serve Him. Ephesians chapter 1 and the first 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We find, secondly, His complaint uttered. His complaint uttered. Look at verse 6. We did look at it earlier, but we want to look at it a little closer. Verse 6. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. His complaining uttered. Jeremiah listens earnestly to God's plan for his life. And then he says, Ah, Lord God. He begins to complain that he is unfit. That he is unfit and unable for the task. Behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. He does not say that he wouldn't carry out the task that was given him, but he complains, I cannot speak. I cannot speak. He's young. Who would listen to him? Is that the way you feel, young man? Is that the way you feel? I cannot speak. Who would listen to me? He cannot speak due to his inexperience. He feels he doesn't have the ability to communicate God's truth. Was Moses not the same? He was called a man of God. In Exodus 4:10, like Jeremiah, he didn't feel eloquent enough to speak for God. In Exodus chapter 4, in the first 10, And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Same train of thought is with Gideon. In Judges 6:15, And I am the least. And I am the least in my father's house. He saw no qualifications in and of himself. He says in great humility and modesty, having no high thoughts of himself, nor any dependence on his own strength. Oh, is Isaiah the prophet not the same? For example, felt too sinful to enter into the ministry. Isaiah 6:5. Then said I, Woe is me. Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Deeply impressed with a sense of the holiness of God and of his own unfitness to deliver the message of so pure a God. Oh, we most certainly, child of God, ought to be aware of our inabilities and our frailties, for then our reliance is not in ourselves, but in Christ. And so it confirms the truth of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Child of God, each and every individual has been called to a particular field of service. And often the way ahead is filled with difficulties and dangers, just like Jeremiah. And at times we feel unworthy, unable and unfitted for the task. Yet we must be mindful and remember, His strength is made perfect in weakness. And therefore we shouldn't let our own weaknesses become an obstacle to our service for God. Rather, we should recall the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and the first 13. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ, in Christ, which strengtheneth me. Perhaps there's one here today. And God is calling you into full-time service. As C.H. Spurgeon said, if God calls you to be a preacher, don't stoop to be a king. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Let us bow reverently, quietly before the Lord, thanking Him for His help. Lord, our most gracious and heavenly Father, we give Thee all the praise and glory. We thank Thee for a sense of Thy presence and for Thy divine direction and help. And Lord, we ask of Thee that all that has been of man will fall to the ground, for it's worthless in Thy sight. We ask of Thee for the morning worship, for the time of prayer proceeding, Lord, that Thou wilt put Thy gracious hand upon us. Lord, that Thou wilt teach us to do the will of God. Help us this day. Bless the evening service later, and bring the unsaved in, that they would hear words whereby they can be saved. Help us now as we content Thee in spirit and in truth. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen.